Good morning and welcome to our audio service today. To all the mums, happy Mother's Day. I trust that you are staying well and have been able to maintain contact with others. I'm Diane and will be leading us through today's service. Janice will be reading our Bible passages. Sam, Linda and Tina are our music team today. And Trevor will be leading us in a time of prayer, teaching us through God's word and provide us with announcements. Let us open our service with our first hymn, Holy, 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 as we are reminded of our Almighty God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Gracious God, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given to us, for life and health and safety, for power to work, leisure to rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Open our hearts to receive your word, that we may know you better and be thoroughly equipped for every good work, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first Bible reading today is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. The second reading is from Mark chapter 8, verses 27 to 29. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, we all have a desire to believe in something. Something to hold on to as true, to depend on, to live by, to find meaning, to hope in. Would you agree or would you disagree? Social researcher Hugh Mackay, in his book What Makes Us Tick, says it's one of the 10 desires that drive us humans. He writes, "Even if we accept that we are here as the result of mindless cosmic forces producing circumstances conducive to life that ultimately evolved into millions of species, including our own, our personal existence doesn't feel like that. We would prefer a more reassuring kind of explanation, one that fits with our intuitive sense that we are special, we are here for a reason, that there must be more to life than meets the eye. Something to believe in." Well, good morning. Welcome to church. My name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. This is the second of our six little sermons on what makes people tick. A look at the Bible's reasoning and answers to people's pressing needs and wants. And today, I want us to think about the pressing need and want to believe in something. You may have seen the ad on TV, a little girl wanting to buy her mother a birthday present, but has no money, goes into the shop, hands over her precious trinkets to the shopkeeper and asks, "I want to buy a block of chocolate." So cute, isn't it? Yeah. The shopkeeper gives her a block of chocolate and one of her trinkets back. And unbeknown to the mother, what her child has done, the ad ends with a little girl giving her mother the chocolate, wishing her a happy birthday, embracing in a hug, and the shopkeeper smiling. Well, whether you're old or whether you're young, middle-aged, whatever, aware or not aware, we all have a desire to believe in something. And those beliefs shape our beliefs as well, what we do and how we do it. Something to hold on to us as true, something to depend on, something to live by, to find meaning, to find hope in. And Mackay argues we see its proof in the many varied, broad and deep range beliefs we humans embrace. In things like lucky charms, rabbit's feet, astrology, superstitions, gambling, teachings and philosophies, principles and values, old wives' tales, rumours, conspiracy theories and UFOs, what we buy or not buy, consume or not. And it's in individuals also, not just in things, like those we elect as our leaders or have thrust upon us. Ancient and modern gurus, TV celebrities, sporting legends and wealth experts. those we should live with, work with, play with. Our beliefs shape our beliefs, even in and within ourselves, if we just had enough belief. Even our beliefs in things and individuals shape our other beliefs. Like the TV ad implies, we have beliefs that shape who we should believe to give to, who we shouldn't, and the basis for why we do what we do. The proof we all desire to believe in something is in the many, varied, broad, and deep range of beliefs we humans embrace. But chiefly, Mackay argues, we see its proof in what he would say, generally speaking, religion, in a belief in a God, various teachings and rituals. He writes, our yearning for a supernatural God can be seen as the ultimate expression of our desire for something to believe in, something larger and grander than we are, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, beyond time and space, immortal, invincible. That's the way we are, Mackay argues. And I think most Christians would agree. But we agree, we believe and argue, it's the way we've been made. It's not just by chance, but by God, who desires to be in relationship with his creation, with us, and for us to embrace him, 1 Timothy 2 verse 4. And we who are Christians know that to be true, don't we? Our soul, as the scripture tells us, our soul, our very being, finds rest in God. Psalm 62 verses 1 and 2. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. We as Christians believe in God, and our beliefs in God shape what else we believe. But why doesn't everyone believe in God? Why do people see it as foolish to believe in him, yet believe in everything else under the sun except God? Now, they are helpful questions, and in answering them, we turn to the scriptures, firstly, not to our first reading, but to Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 37. There we read, in the wisdom of God, secret to him, God has given us over to our sinful desires of our hearts and to a depraved mind. Although we can know God, we neither glorify him as God or give thanks to him, but our thinking has become futile, and our foolish hearts are darkened. Although we claim to be wise, we have become fools, and we've exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being, and birds and animals and reptiles. Although we know that God is right and that we deserve our death, for believing such things, we not only continue to do the very things, Paul writes, but God desires that we don't, but also approve of those who practice them. We do not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. We've exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and we worship and serve created things rather than the Creator. Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 37. And to some extent, Mackay agrees with Paul. Whether it's a supernatural being, he writes, a mysterious life force, Cupid's imaginary focus for the religious life, science, money, wisdom, information, ritual, power or love, most of us assign the status of a god to something in our lives, whether we give it that name or not, says Mackay. But we who are Christians, and if you choose to live life God's way, we have chosen to believe in God. How has that been? How is it that we can still find others believe in him too? Well, we turn to our first reading, and there we read in verse 25 of the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him. God was pleased, though, through the foolishness of what was preached, to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. How have we come to believe in God? How will others believe in God? Well, it's in the wisdom of God and secret to him through the preaching teaching of Jesus Christ in the gospel. In the long run, it's to this someone who we must answer before. And as he asked Peter, "Who do people say that I am?" Jesus would ask of us. Though many believe and embrace varied, broad and deep range of beliefs, Jesus would ask of us, "Who do you say I am?" For me, with Peter, he is my Messiah. He is the Messiah, the Son of God, the someone whom I believe in, the someone I will hold on to as true, depend on, live by, find meaning and hope in. Is that what you believe?